Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Christ and Me with Addie, where we seek to live out a John 3:30 life. John 3:30 says, "He must become greater and greater and I less and less." Let's be real. In today's world, it can seem impossible to live out what the Bible calls us to do. Not only can it be hard to understand sometimes, but finding the time to read the Bible, to understand the Bible, to know the Bible, it can just be overwhelming. So I created this podcast so we could walk alongside each other, share some of our stories and struggles, but also where the Lord is bringing us, so that we can encourage one another and stay rooted in His Word. It's my prayer that you walk away from each episode saying, "I know that that is Christ in me. I know Christ in me." So let's get into today's topic. Hey guys, welcome back to Christ in Me with Addie, where today there is just such an amazing story that is coming along, you guys. I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. It seriously brought me to tears the first time I heard Ashley Nadine's story. And so I want to play it for you really quick. This is Ashley's testimony. And I really just think it's a story that all women need to hear, not only to know the faithfulness of God, but also just some of the traps of humanity, but how God is still good despite our darkest hours. So I will let Ashley take it away. I hope you guys love this. This is Ashley Nadine's testimony.
Growing up, I loved watching my parents' marriage. My dad loved and adored my mom. And so growing up watching Disney movies, I would always think about Cinderella and like my Prince Charming. And I've always wanted a man like that. I've always wanted like that prince, so to speak. I had a 4.3. I was involved in cheerleading. I was in all kinds of extracurricular activities. And I remember meeting a friend, and she was like, you know, "Hey, there's this party around the corner." Well, when I went into the party, I remember this man, and he was a lot older than I was. He was really handsome, and he gets me alone in the room, and he starts telling me like the most amazing things, you know, like how beautiful I am. And I was like immediately in love. Like I was like, this is it, this is the one for me. Well, a couple months goes by and I remember just pulling over to a park. And I remember feeling excited about what he might be saying. He slapped me across the face and he told me, "You're gonna be working for me now. I would be making grown woman money." Shortly after that, we went over to his house. I was really afraid at this time because I didn't know what he was implying about me working for him. But I remember drinking water, and next thing you know, I wake up and I realized that I'd been drugged. I was forced into the strip clubs. At this time, I'm 17. Every day, it was like he would just take my money. They took my identification. They knew where my parents lived. They basically controlled me by fear and told me if I was like to tell anybody about them or anything, that they would come after my family. It was really hard because it was like I was living this double life. Like I was going to school, trying to be this good student, but like still being controlled and everything by something else. It just got so hard that I just ended up moving out. I was at the strip club for years until I got pregnant. I knew that like I wanted to keep my baby, like I knew inside, but I also knew that if I did, my pimp would be like so upset, and I don't think he would have even allowed me to. Like, I don't know what he would have done, but I decided I was gonna tell somebody. And I remember my friend Amanda in high school, who I just, she was so full of love. So I remember sneaking out away from my pimp and confessing to my friend about my whole life, about what I was doing, about how they were controlling me, how just everything. And she told me, "Ashley, there is a God named Jesus that loves you so much that if you keep your baby and you leave this lifestyle, he's gonna provide and protect you. And she gave me this verse about the sparrows, that God even provides for the birds and the sparrows. How much more will your Heavenly Father provide for you? So that night, I went to work, and her words would just go over and over my head about this God that loves me and this God that cared about me. And with me being so torn down, you know, and feeling so worthless, and just everything that this guy told me, that I was just nothing. I just remember her words about a God that loves me. And I was getting ready for work in the back of the strip club dressing room. And I remember I took one last look in the mirror. I was gonna just look at myself one last time. And I saw my little baby bump. I felt like God was looking at me, like through the strip club mirror. And I just felt his presence. And immediately I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't be in here. I gotta get out. I cannot be in this place. Like, God is chasing me right now. I went home, and when I got home, there was a book on my dresser called God's Promises for Women. And for the first time in my whole life, I opened up that book and I read a verse. And the verse said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and I will open the door." And so right in my room, with no choir, no church, no nothing, just me and God, I had a moment and I said, "Lord, if you're real, then I need you to show me." And I felt the love of God just come into my heart, and it's changed me forever. I've never been the same since that day. He has completely restored my life. I got involved in Celebrate Recovery, and it's brought so much healing, deep healing, from trauma, from the things that I've been through in my life, to where I didn't know like I could experience joy like this. I didn't know that I can live in like freedom like this. I didn't know my worth in Jesus, my worth in God. And he showed me my identity. He showed me my worth. And the best part about all of this is that my daughter is here. I kept her. She's 13 years old. Her name is Layla. She's been such a joy in my life. And God blessed me with a bridal shop. His plans are so much bigger than I could have ever dared to dream or imagine. And I get to help these women and these girls who are the most special day of their life. And I get to come in and help dress them for their special day. But for me, it's deeper than that, because I feel that it was God showing me all along that while I was in my darkness, while I was in my sin, that he saw me as a beautiful, classy bride. And for that, I will forever be grateful.
What an amazing story, you guys. Seriously, the first time I heard that, I was sitting next to my husband and I was trying so hard not to cry. I had a huge lump in my throat. I looked over at him and he's about to weep. I'm like pretty much already weeping. But I'm bringing on the show today Ashley Nadine to talk about her testimony. Say hey, Ashley.
Hey, Addie. So I'm so grateful to be here. And, you know, I love that response saying that you guys were almost like brought to tears, because this is, human trafficking is such an epidemic right now. There's so much exposure going on. So I'm grateful that hearts are being moved, you know, because I think this is on God's heart. You know, it really is. I think this is something that is on God's heart. God says he comes to set the captives free. Yes. And so he needs us. He needs us to raise awareness, to get involved, to speak up. And so I'm so grateful that this actually has moved you guys in a way to where you wanted me to come on the show and share a little bit more.
Absolutely. And I think this is such an important story for young women, but seriously just all women to hear, because You know, I'm kind of someone who's obsessed with looking at the warning signs of human trafficking. Mm-hmm. You know, they say if there's a zip tie on your door handle, if there's a rose under your windshield wiper, if someone throws an egg at your car, you keep driving, or you don't go to your car, you get security and you have them escort you to your car. You always look under your car, you look in your seats. But your story was a little bit different because somebody had basically won over your trust. And Ashley and I were kind of talking about this in the pre-show, just getting to know you. And I said, you know, you were clearly a smart girl. Like, you're a very smart young woman when this happened to you. And so I guess, how do you think you fell victim to human trafficking, and how did it sort of take you by surprise, even someone who did so well in school, who had so much going for them?
Yeah, I love that question, because truly I think that as academically smart as I was, there was an emotional fulfillment that I was looking for. And I think because my parents had such a beautiful marriage, like I showed in the video, like I wanted that so bad. Like I wanted that desire, like to be with one person. And so for me, I was really just, I think, an easy target for someone like a trafficker, because of how desperate I was looking for that love and that God hole to be filled. And so when I went to a house party, and he just started telling me all these like amazing things about me, it was like my love tank, right, was being fulfilled. Like he was telling me everything a young girl would want to hear. I mean, and then I grew up on Disney movies. So like, I don't know. For me, it was like that Prince Charming riding up on a white horse, like was something that I, for whatever reason, believed. Like I believe like this person can just show up and it's magical and everything works out. And so I was really naive, you know, at that age. I was 14. I mean, looking back, I wish that I would have, I think, had more confidence too, or like more awareness, podcasts like these, you know. But I think that, that love language that I was looking for to be fulfilled from a man, was why I fell victim to this.
Yeah. And you know, that's so true for so many young girls. I know that was the case for me as well. I was looking for anyone who would boost my confidence by telling me, you know, I always felt like that girl who just wasn't wanted, or the girl who like was always second best to like the star cheerleader girl. And I know you were in cheerleading too. But how do you think you were so quick to believe these lies? Like, did you know God as a child, and did you believe in God's words? Did you believe God's words were stronger than the lies that this guy was telling you at the party, or did you not know God enough yet?
I didn't know God at all. So I did not grow up in a really religious household at all. I remember like my grandma used to carry around like a baby Jesus. So I think like Catholics do that or something. I don't know. I thought it was freaky. I was like, what is this? Like, so no one ever explained God or the concept of a God or anything. It was just, I just had a normal, dad goes to work, mom stays home, gets a job every once in a while. I mean, so nobody had introduced God at all to me. I didn't know. Yeah. So there was no substance or anything of that sort. And so I think with this guy, like, I mean, he was good. He was really good. His words were in the way that they groom is really interesting, because they win your trust over first, and then they break you down.
Yeah.
And I was physically, verbally abused. And I think when that happened, I was just in this like dark cycle, you know? Yeah. And I really, as much as even if I wanted to leave, I just didn't even know how, because my worth was so stripped and taken away from me. And at this point, I just wanted to do anything to please him. Like, it's really strange. It's really strange. And I would get questions like, why didn't you just leave? And it's like, you don't understand, as a 14-year-old girl going through this manipulation process and being built up and then broken down and built up and broken down, and then all the fear tactics that they use. Like, you know, just to be open with you, there was photos taken of me. And I was blackmailed. I was blackmailed. There's a lot that goes into it.
That really points to, you know, a lot of people think when things or people come into your life, they're like, oh, surely this is from God. Like, this is a God sign. And I think we have to be so careful, because just because someone or something comes into your life does not necessarily always mean it's from God. And so I could see how when that guy came into your life, you might've been like, wow, like, this is it. He's the one. But, you know, Satan can close and open doors, unfortunately, the same way that God can. And I always say, before you step through a door, you need to really ask yourself, what is on the other side? Who is on the other side? Am I walking into an abyss where I'm about to fall off the edge, or am I walking onto solid ground? Do I trust and know this is from God? So when you pulled up to that park, before you got out of the car to meet him, did you have any sort of conviction about your heart, like, or any fear that it wouldn't go the way you had hoped? Or was it all just kind of blind optimism? Like, this is it. He's the one.
It was blind optimism. That was a moment where I knew that was the shift that had come, where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in danger. Like, this is like, because you got to understand, it wasn't just one trafficker, it was two others. And so those two were actually, in my opinion, worse than the one that was recruiting me. It was like he was being groomed by them. So they were the big dogs at the top, right? So it's like, once I met those other two, they were extremely violent. It was like, you know, I mean, I was scared for my life at this point. Like, yeah, this was like, no, I knew that was the moment things, it was like, all of a sudden I'm like in shock mode, right? Like, wait a second. My life's about to change. They're telling me this stuff. Like, I'm in fear. So no, I was blindsided, completely blindsided, completely. And,
I think you said you were 17 when you moved out of the house. Was that right? Did your parents go looking for you? Like, did they have any indication that anything was wrong, or how did that look?
They did, actually. They were the ones who were like, please, before I even got serious with him, or like, you know, more involved, they were like, stay away from him. He's trouble. They were sensing something was off. I wish I would have listened, but I didn't, you know. But they were totally like, you know, they sensed that there was something wrong with them. Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're not alone in that. I remember as a kid, my friend and I used to sneak out late at night. I would say I was staying at her house. She would say she was staying at my house. We would say that to our parents, and we would sneak out to meet boys, you know, and we are so fortunate that nothing ever happened to us, but I think it happens way more than people and parents realize. And so that's amazing that they care for you enough to try to warn you. And this just goes to show how, you know, unfortunately Satan is at rule in this world, but God still has the final say. And like, after watching your video, that's what was so prevalent to me, is that Satan, fine, he had it for a second, but God got you back.
That's right. Amen. So good. I love what you said earlier too. It's like, you know, we got to test the fruit, because there's like, we can fall in love with someone's gifts or anointing, right? Like, I remember there was one time there was like this amazing man of God, and he was like a minister. He'd go all over speaking and everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's incredible. Come to find out that he actually was seeing like multiple women over. So I'm just only bringing this up to just say, like, we as women of God, we have to see the fruit and the character of the person, and not just the overall presentation of what somebody's trying to present. It's like, we never know. There can be wolf in sheep's clothing all over the place. It can be in the church as well, you know? So we got to just be really careful to make sure that we test those fruits and make sure that they are who they say, you know?
Yeah. And when she says those fruits, to anyone who's listening and they're not quite sure what that means, a lot of times when we say those fruits, we're referencing like the fruits of the Spirit. So does someone have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness? And if someone is up to no good behind the scenes, if they really are that like wolf dressed as a sheep, so they seem fluffy and inviting on the outside, but they're actually scary and a killer on the inside, like they have bad intentions, you will see anger leak out in situations. You will see haste leak out in situations. You will see those bad, rotten fruits that don't bring peace to your soul, like, leak out in certain moments. But I want to talk about your friend Amanda a little bit and kind of the message she told you. And this was after you had found out that you were pregnant with your daughter, I believe, right? In the timeline. Mm-hmm. So was Amanda the first like faith influence to tell you about Jesus in your life?
Absolutely. She was the first one who really had no filter at all. Like where it was like, I'm standing for Jesus. I believe in him. This is what it looks like to be a Christian. Like I would remember watching her read her Bible all the time. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't grow up in a Christian household, I almost feel like I needed someone that was sold out for God, like completely all in for the Lord. And she lived her life that way. Like it was like, she woke up. I remember sometimes like we would even like sleep, like, cause I spent the night at her house and we would like sleep with our Bibles, like holding them and stuff, mm-hmm. like things like that, where it's like, she really did, I think, her best to walk out her life with God. And I needed somebody like that in my life at that time. So I love that she was just completely open with her faith, because mm-hmm. with someone like me who didn't have that, I needed someone who was like, hey, this is what it looks like. This is what it is. I love things straight up. You know what I mean? And she just straight up told me the real gospel of Jesus. And it honestly, that's why I was transformed, you know? Yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. crazy because in my life, her name was Mackenzie. And so I can think back to my childhood, to the very person who planted that seed in me, that when I was in my lowest moment, I thought of mm-hmm. Mackenzie. I thought of the Jesus that I witnessed in her. And I was like, I don't know what she has, but I want it. I want that peace. I want that hope. And so, you know, your situation was very immediate, a very, very distressing, you know. How was Jesus enough for you in that moment to meet, you know, the fear of being pregnant with a child and on your own and still kind of captive to your pimp? Like, how was Jesus enough in that moment to convince you of hope?
Yeah. I always say this, Addie, that one encounter, like sometimes the world will call it like a spiritual awakening, right? Or yeah. like I had this spiritual thing happen, and I already had known because she had told me about Jesus. She gave me a verse, which was in Matthew 7:7. It was the one about providing for the birds of the air. She told me that if I kept my baby, that God would provide for me and he would protect me. So that's yeah. what she told me. Then leading up to this encounter, right? Like I actually had like God appeared, his presence appeared to me in the back of a strip club. Mm-hmm. And that one encounter with the Lord was more than enough for me. I mean, you're talking when I was 19 years old, you're talking many, many years ago. And still to this day, I can remember that one encounter where I knew that I was going from darkness into the light, like scales, like fell off of my eyes. I could see that I was in sin. I could see, that my life was in darkness, but more than importantly, I encountered a real love.
Yeah.
The love of a father mm-hmm. that, transformed me in seconds, like seconds. Mm-hmm. So to me, that is more than enough, because when you encounter real love after having fake love for so long, it's like, I want more of that. I know what this feels like. I know what brokenness feels like. I know what abuse feels like. I know what not feeling worthy feels like. But that one encounter with God yeah. was so much more than anything that I was already living in, you know?
Mm-hmm. I yeah. love that, because I think of, you know, we chatted about this before the podcast, but that's kind of my testimony too. I had a desperate moment on the bathroom floor with God. And I said, if you're real, I need you to prove it to me. And then mm-hmm. I just had an undeniable encounter with God. And so when I think about the people in my life who are in these really tough situations who don't know Jesus, that's mm-hmm. what I pray for. I pray yeah. for an encounter with God that's undeniable in their life. And that doesn't mean you have to have all of the Bible figured out yet. That doesn't mm-hmm. mean that you are suddenly, you know, the Virgin Mary yourself or anything like that. Like none of us right. can be perfect Christians, but when we know him undeniably is when we start our journey with him. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to read that verse that you brought up, Matthew 6:26. It says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And I just love that, because, you know, God cares for all of his creation, but there he's saying you are so much more than just the birds, mm-hmm. you know? And so what would you say to the woman who, you know, I've shared my testimony before and I've had someone tell me, well, that's great for you, but I've been desperately crying out to God and he has yet to reveal himself to me. Like, mm-hmm. what would you say to the woman who's maybe still stuck, like so stuck in her lowest place, who's turning a little cynical, a little bitter, who just, yeah. hasn't had her moment, her transformative moment with God yet, mm-hmm. what would you say to encourage that woman?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing is even me as a Christian who has had an encounter with God, I still have my days that I struggle where I don't feel God, right? I mean, faith is just believing when you can't see. Mm-hmm. So God, I tell my daughter this because she just came to me actually the other day and she goes, Mom, I believe in God, but I just don't feel him. And I said, baby, God isn't a feeling. You have to have the faith to believe that he's there and he promises he'll never leave us or forsake us. And so yeah. I think a lot of people are, our generations are like looking for, so it's feeling, pleasure, yeah. pleasure. The thing about the gospel is like that it comes with a lot of sacrifice. It comes with laying things down. It comes with letting things go. And it's not about rules, but it's really, to me, it's about God's protection. Yeah. You know, because I know for me, like when I was living in the world, sleeping around with all kinds of people, and my heart was so broken, you know what I mean? But there's something so beautiful about doing it God's way, being monogamous and having a marriage and being committed to one person. And it's like, he's protecting us from heartbreak. He's protecting us from us being so broken. Right. And so
yeah,
I think that God's ways are not our ways. And it's not always about feelings and feeling good and signs and things like that. Sometimes he's simply just looking for our belief and we just have to trust and know that he really is who he says he is. And we really have to believe his word. We just have to take him for,
God needs our faith and not our understanding sometimes. And that's something that's really hard for us as humans, because I think it's natural to be like, why? If you've been with a toddler for longer than like an hour, you've probably heard like a million why questions, you know?
Right,
and we always want to know why, but God really wants our faith and not our understanding at times. And I love this definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So we can have confidence and assurance when we just have faith, even if we don't have all the answers. So I want to go back to when you found out you were pregnant with your daughter. What were you thinking in that moment? Were you like, this isn't going to work out, I need to terminate? Or were you thinking, I want to keep my baby? Like, where were you at mentally?
No. To be honest with you, I was in the middle. I was 50-50. I had past abortions. I had past abortions because you got to understand the lifestyle I was in. Right. So like, gosh, that's so crazy that I admitted that. But at this point now I had a conversion, right? So now I don't have the same mindset as I did before. And I knew that now as a believer that terminating a child is not the way that God would want me to do it. So I had this conviction. And then I was trying to reason with my old ways, right? So it was like going back and forth, but I knew that I was going to take a stand for my new faith in God. And that's actually why I decided to keep Layla. Yeah. I decided to keep her because I was like, I don't get it. I'm scared. I don't understand, but I'm going to keep my baby because I'm a believer now. And I believe in God now. And so that was actually my faith was my determining factor. It wasn't my feelings. It wasn't, because if I'm honest with you, I probably would rather have done it the other way that I was used to, which is just do live how you want to live and then go and, you know, and abort. And it's like, no, like this is not the Lord's way. And so, I knew that I was taking a stand for my new faith in God. And, I'm so glad I did it his way and not my own, because Layla is my everything. I love her so much. Like, she really, God used her to settle me down and change my life and grow up and learn how to love someone more than I loved the world, you know, the world in the darkness that I was in. And honestly, she was actually the real love that God used beyond an abusive man. Like, think about that. Like my love for my child was stronger than the love that I had for my trafficker pimp, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is so powerful. And I just want to say thank you for your bravery in admitting that. I know that it's hard and that there can be a lot of shame there sometimes, but I'm really glad you brought up abortion, because in a few weeks, I'm interviewing a woman who has a ministry called Redeemed for a Reason. And she walks women through grace-based abortion recovery, because there is a healing process that you have to go through as a mother who's come to the knowledge of Christ, who maybe has had previous abortions. And, you know, God doesn't want that weighing on your heart because your babies are waiting for you in heaven. And so I'm really glad that you brought that up because I think more women need to hear the truth of the gospel, but also how grace meets you when you've come to the knowledge of Christ and your mistakes, your past no longer hold you down. You are new in Christ.
Amen. Yes. Thank you for saying that. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for being bold just to share because this was my hope in bringing you on is that we would just hear from strong women of God who have been fully transformed. And what I love about your story is what you said, you know, there were actionable steps you had to take to be new in Christ. And I think a lot of the times when we accept Christ, we expect Christ to do all of the work in us, but we also have to be willing to do our part, which is changing our ways. And so after you decided to keep your baby, you had that conversation with your friend, Amanda. How did your situation kind of improve? Like, how did you become the mother that you are now?
Yeah. So, you know, this is the thing, Addie, is I like to just be honest with people because I think that we've been misled over the years that when you give your life to God, if for some reason people think that you're just going to win the lottery and everything's going to be fine. And, you know, it's actually just the opposite. It's actually that there's going to be trials and tribulations and the world is going to try to come at you. The enemy's going to go stronger at you. But now you have a God that loves you, that's going to walk with you through things, give you the peace that you need, give you the understanding and the, you know, like we can go to the throne room of heaven and actually hear from him and speak with him. So it's amazing and hear from him. And so my life actually, it was very humbling. So I went from being a stripper, making tons of money, right? Tons of money. I could buy whatever, like, you know, I was still being controlled, but I mean, I was with the pimp, right? So like, but living this crazy life, I was around celebrities. I mean, it was, I danced on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. So you got to understand, like, I mean, I've been that lifestyle. Okay. And now I have this conversion and I know I have to let that go and lay my life down. And so I started working at a car wash.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the real, like, I'm not going to lie to you and be like, yeah. And then I became an executive. No. I, the Lord had to humble me and had to bring me to my knees and really depend on him and him alone, not money, not fame, not, you know, that identity, that sexiness. I had to lay that. I mean, and I'm still learning. I'm still like having to lay a lot of this stuff that has been so embedded in me since from a child, you know, renewing my mind daily. It's a daily decision. So, but my point is that no, I went through a humbling process. I went through getting the job at the car wash after having all the money that I wanted, you know? So, however, God, that wasn't where God stopped. That's not where God stopped. And so I'm sitting here behind these beautiful wedding dresses, right? I'm now a business owner, Addie. I've been in business for 8 years. I own my own bridal boutique. I live in one of the most amazing cities in all of California. And, I'm extremely blessed. Like I can afford things on my own with my daughter. You know, I'm a single mom. My daughter is doing, she goes to a great school. So I just want to say that just because you may be in a humbling state does not mean that's where God is going to stop you. It's just that every great leader and every person has to go through a process. You know,
it's true. It's true. And I told you a little bit of my testimony before we started the podcast recording, but I went through something really similar where I lost my job and I put so much of myself into that job. Like it was my identity. I lost my job. I totaled my car 4 days after I bought it and I'd been saving for a car for like a year and a half. And then my relationship that I was in began to fail. COVID hit. Like all these things just kept happening. And at the time I was like, this is Satan. This is Satan trying to steal my peace. But in hindsight, I truly believe it was God. I believe God stripped away the idols of my life so that I would focus on just him. And you might hear that and be like, oh, well, God sounds kind of mean, but it's like, no, if I could go back, I would pick that for myself because I wouldn't be the woman that I am today in my situation, you know, without having gone through that humbling process. So I think about the verse that says, you know, the path to God is a narrow way and that not many will choose it, and that there's another path that's wider that many will take. And so, you know, as Christ followers, we have to be willing to go through that narrow way that's going to have some tight squeezes, some pressing moments, some obstacles, but ultimately trust that that is for His glory, but also our good.
It's so good. I love that you're saying that, because one of my favorite verses is actually that it's Ephesians 3:20, and it says that God is able to do more than we dare to dream or imagine according to His plans and His riches in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And I think about that. I'm like, first of all, my man picker was broken, right? Mm-hmm. So like, if it was up to my plan, I would have probably stayed in that abuse. I probably would have stayed in that situation. Yeah. I wouldn't have seen that there was a better way, you know, but God knew. And He saw my potential. He saw me as like a business owner, right? Like He saw the potential in me. And I think that that is the beauty of God, is like when you lay your life down for Him, He really does have so much more and so much better than you could even think. Like I never imagined being a bridal shop owner. Like I'm so grateful I get to be around like love stories, people that are happy, excited. And like I said, even with the money aspect, God even redeemed that, because I mean, I'm all right. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I was just with a dancer, a stripper the other day. God had me in the car with one. I was in on a set in Hollywood filming a documentary, and it just so happened that I got placed in the car with a girl that was a dancer. Mm-hmm. And she was asking me about my life, and I was telling her, and she goes, "Wow, that's so amazing." And I said, "You know, to be honest with you, I used to do what you were doing, you know?" And I said, "But now I make more in 1 hour with my clothes on than I ever did doing that." And she was like, "Wow, really?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I said, "God can do that for you, you know?" Yeah. So I'm just saying this because I know a lot of people think that like, God isn't going to provide a way. He promises. He's our provider. He has His own way of provision. And I'm not saying you're going to be rich or whatever, but it's more so that He has a certain plan for your life. And it really is better than you can ever dare to dream or imagine. It truly is.
Yeah. And I love the verse you shared, because some versions say immeasurably more. And so how often do we define the scope of measurement? Like for that dancer, she was like, "This is my form of measurement, and this is how I make the most for what I'm able to do." But God can do immeasurably more. So, you know, I want to speak to the woman right now who feels really stuck in her situation, who's given into this cyclical, like settled on her situation, who doesn't think it can get any better and that she's doing the best that she can. Ashley's here being very honest, very vulnerable about what God has done in her life. And if you've listened to my testimony video on this podcast, you've heard also that I gave up a 4-year relationship to pursue God. And that was a guy who I thought I was going to marry, but I'm so glad that He saved me from that situation, because that wasn't love. That wasn't what He planned, what He wanted. And so I just think it's amazing that God placed you in the bridal space. Do you want to share a little bit about your business first? And then I'll kind of share why I think this is just so beautiful.
I know. Even your testimony is blessing me so much, because it's actually bringing encouragement to me. So just to be transparent, Addie, I'm 38 years old.
Yeah,
I have never been married. Mm-hmm. And I know that God has, like you said, placed me in this industry because I have not given up believing for my husband. Like I still believe that God is going to send me an amazing man that's equally yoked, that, you know, we're heading in the same direction. And I think that God has blessed me with the bridal shop, which is called Ashley Nadine Bridal, by the way. I'm located in Brea, California. And you can check, I have 5-star reviews on Yelp and Google. I mean, it's, God is blessing it. It's just incredible designers. I mean, it's a private appointment. So the bride literally gets an experience catered to her and whoever she wants to bring in, the special guest on the day. It's really an amazing experience. But I think that God has given me a bridal shop for 2 reasons. Number one, I think it's that He shows me that He sees me as the bride of Christ. And what does that mean? He sees me as His love, right? As like, He sees me in a way that I can't see myself just yet. Like I struggle with that still, you know?
Yeah.
But I also think He's blessed me with a shop to say, don't give up hope.
Yeah.
Don't give up hope, you know?
Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth because I was going to speak to, you know, when Jesus returns, because we believe that the world is broken right now, but Jesus is coming back to fix it. When he does return, it says that he will collect his bride and that he is the groom, essentially. And I love that picture because think of a bride on her wedding day. Think of how delicate, you know, how beautiful, how everything's just so full of like love and joy. That is how God views us. He just wants to come collect us. He wants to come never be separated from us again and care for us as a groom cares for a bride. And so I just think it's so beautiful that it's almost prophetic, you know, that Jesus has given you this bridal shop and that your heart is not bitter because of your past, but your heart is joy-filled to help other people walk into their wedding seasons as you're expectant for your wedding season. And even if that's not something you experience on earth, you know that Jesus is coming back for you as him as your groom someday. Absolutely. And so I just think it's beautiful that you haven't given up hope and that Jesus is your source. Like, that's just amazing.
It's true. And he's more than enough. And I think that, you know, it's when I truly laid marriage down because it was an idol in my life for a long time. But when I truly laid that down and surrendered, I call it like full surrender. Cause I was still holding on to the relationship. I didn't want to let it go. I was in a relationship actually for 9 years and I knew I shouldn't have been in it. Wow. And it was actually, quite recently that I let it go.
Wow.
But, I realized for the first time in my life, Addie, that Jesus is really more than enough. Like he really is. Like, his presence and the joy. And I'm like, I feel like I'm like, who said prime was in your 20s, honey? I am feeling good right now. Like, I just wake up, I have so much joy. And so like, I'm living my purpose. Like, my daughter's blessed. Like, I might shop. I mean, I'm really, I don't know. Like, people say, I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life in Jesus, like with Christ. Like, it's incredible to feel the freedom and being in full surrender and like really just knowing that God is with me every single day. And it feels amazing. Like, I feel like I'm high, dude. Like, and but I feel that way. I'm just like, why am I so happy? Like, you know, because God is more than enough. And and it took me 38 years to figure that out.
Yeah.
Just saying, I'm just being real. Like, it took me 38 years. Yeah.
And that's okay. You know?
Yeah.
I love the verse that says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so even in times that we don't feel joyful, even in times when we're like, wow, it took me a long time to come around, like the joy of the Lord has always been our strength and not our own strength. And so, yeah, that's just amazing. But I also just love how you and your daughter have this life now together. And what would you say to the woman who's maybe in a situationship where she's pregnant and she just doesn't know what to do? I want to end on that note is what would you say to that woman who's pregnant and afraid?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so... I remember going back to that place, Addie. I think that was one of the hardest seasons of my life, truly. So hard, but I really had to lean on God and his presence in those seasons. I mean, there was times where I cried until I couldn't cry anymore, you know? But then God would show up, you know, like I'd open up my Bible and it would be exactly the verse I needed, or somebody would call, you know, and pray for me, or those seasons of me when I felt so lonely were the times that I felt God the closest.
Yeah.
And it's still true to this day, you know? So I would say to that woman that's feeling alone or scared to just truly call out to God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and just really lean and press into him, you know?
Yeah. That's beautiful. I literally have goosebumps. Gosh, you are just such an amazing woman. And I am so grateful for what God has done in your life, but also just the fact that your daughter is here today, like that's a miracle. And I just want to say thank you for your openness, for your willingness to share, because I really believe that this episode is going to bless so many people as all the work you're doing right now already has. And if somebody who's listening right now wants to find you, where can they find you online?
Perfect. Yeah. So my handles are Miss Ashley Nadine. And then I also have a website, ashleynadine.com. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm speaking all over the world. Literally, I'm part of these massive revivals that are happening where thousands of people are showing up. Just recently, I stepped on the biggest stage in California, the actual biggest stage in California, where we are the Beyonce, Katy Perry, all these people have performed. And I think to myself, God is really doing something right now in this season where I see a lot of believers taking territory and going out into the world outside of the church walls. You know, I have a very evangelical like mindset to just get out. I want to reach the world. And so I'm available for speaking engagements. I raise awareness for human trafficking at all kinds of places. I mean, I was just with the FBI. I mean, it's just the Lord is really doing a lot. And so, I'm available. So
I think it's amazing that the Lord has put you in this place to steward this platform really well. And as you were just sharing, like all the things you've been doing, I thought about the verse in Joel. I think it's in Joel. And it says, the Lord will restore all that the locust has eaten. And I just think about how that's your life. Like he's truly restoring, but also just completely blessing beyond abundance all that had been taken in your life with his name, for his name's sake, and for his glory. So I just want to say thank you again for the work that you do.
So I just have to say this. I read that verse yesterday. So thank you. Wow, that's confirmation. See? Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm
that's
saying.
That's amazing. See? God is good. God is good. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for being here. It's been such a blessing to have you. And thanks for tuning in to Christ in Me with Addie. We'll see you guys next time.